Starting a podcast has been one of the biggest drivers of growth in my business, but there are a lot of moving parts behind the scenes to release episodes every single week. That's why I'm all about finding tools to make the process easier. And one of my favorite podcast tools is Riverside. Riverside is where I record all my episodes and guest interviews. It gives me studio quality audio and video every single time. What I love about Riverside is that it records video in 4K and has a bunch of AI tools to make post-production easier and faster. So if you run a podcast or you're thinking of starting one, don't do it without Riverside. Trust me, I've tried a bunch of others and Riverside is the best. And the cool thing is, as a listener of this podcast, you can get 15% off your Riverside subscription using the code MYBUSINESSPLAYBOOK. So head on over to riverside.fm to get started today. Welcome to My Business Playbook, where we pull back the curtain on the steps and missteps of successful people. You'll hear a raw and unfiltered play-by-play of what's worked and what hasn't, giving you helpful advice and insights so you can build your dream business. I'm your host, Laura Higgins, and this is My Business Playbook. Have you ever experienced scope creep in your business? Have you ever had a client push on your boundaries? Have you ever landed yourself in client revision hell? Have you had clients ghost you or stop paying invoices or paying invoices super, super late? Or have you just had clients who simply don't respect your process and don't read your contracts? If you are nodding your head, if any of those things has happened to you at least once, then you are going to love this conversation. What I have learned in years of running a business is that one of the many hats that I must wear is the legal hat. And very quickly, I realized I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how to do this. And so for a really long time, I avoided thinking about the legal side of things, and I would kind of treat it as a once and done. Like, okay, I'll get this contract set up and then I never have to think about it again. And what I've learned is that that's not the right way to approach protecting and setting up your business for success long term. And so today I've brought in the incredible Tracy from TM Solicitor. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about Tracy. Tracy is a non-traditional business lawyer for purpose-driven coaches, creatives, and consultants who want to build intentionally legally protected businesses and who really want to grow their business. Now, she works with people just like you, just like me, and she is going to help you today. In this conversation, we talk all things scope creep and how to avoid it, how to educate and empower yourself and protect yourself legally, and how to confidently enforce your boundaries and your contracts in your business. I really want to encourage you. Listening to this could make a huge difference in your business. It could save you time. It could save you thousands of dollars, and it could save you a whole lot of headaches as well. So let's dive into my conversation with the amazing Tracy from TM Solicitor. Well, Tracy, I cannot tell you how excited I've been for this conversation because this has been a theme that has been coming up. I've had many conversations with our members in the Next Level Club about how the heck do I protect myself legally and how do I enforce my contract, enforce my boundaries? How do I make sure that I'm setting myself up for success long term? And I have just been so excited to talk with you because you have this way of communicating that makes it really simple. You kind of make people feel relaxed, which feeling relaxed and talking to a lawyer don't necessarily go hand in hand, but you have that effect. And I just know that this conversation is going to help so many people. So thank you for joining us. It is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Laura, I'm so happy to be here and I'm so looking forward to diving into this.
This is really cool because you work with coaches, creatives, and consultants to help them to build intentionally legally protected businesses. And so, as you know, I help creatives to scale their businesses. And so this is just like a match made in heaven. It's just the best thing. And so I really want to dive into, I know there are so many ways we can take this conversation. There are so many parts of protecting yourself legally, but I really want to talk today about scope creep. This has been a common thing that has been coming up a lot. And for creatives, it's a really challenging one for us to navigate. It can really affect your mindset. It can really knock your confidence. And also it can just
ultimately impact your profitability, impact your ability to serve people, right? So I'd love to kind of dive in, and to begin, I'd love to look at, well, what's happening when scope creep occurs? What do you think is kind of like going on? What's the disconnect that's happening?
Yeah, great place to start, Laura. This one comes up so often in my business, and I talk to clients about this a lot. And from my perspective, because I see it so often, and because I do have a background in disputes and resolution and all the things, it's really clear to me that when we find ourselves in a position where scope creep is happening, it's because expectations aren't being managed. And that's not a criticism of anybody. That's just pure observation. We don't need malice. It's not about malice. It's not about someone wanting to do over somebody else. It's just that creatives are so good at their craft. And often creatives aren't passionate about what I'm passionate about. And that's the processes and systems around the documents. So if we just take it back a step, I would love to be able to flip the narrative around legal documents and contracts. And I'd love to flip it from dry, dull, boring, overwhelming, to super sexy and exciting and so empowering that creatives are super confident and proud every single time they onboard a client because they know that their processes and systems and their legals are solid. I would love to achieve that, Laura, just by flipping that around. And you can already tell just from the language that I'm using how different it feels. And what I see a lot is creatives come to me and they say, oh, Tracy, I've got this document that I'm using. And they'll either say, I got a template from somewhere, or they'll say, oh, I just use my friends, or I Googled, or I got something, or I've seen someone else's and I've put a few things together. And that's cool. There's no judgment because we do our best, right? And as business owners, we're already wearing all the hats and doing all the things. And holy dooly, how on earth are we supposed to keep adding to this to-do list and now take charge of our legals? So I get it. We do what we need to do. But when a creative comes along and says, look, I've purchased this template, or I'm a part of this group, or someone gave me this template, the thing is, there's no zest or passion there. Like, it's just a must-have tick-a-box document that they got. And they've got no clue if it does what it's meant to do because they don't know what it's meant to be doing. Of course they're not. So when we get scope creep and they go, oh, and now someone's ghosting me, or now someone expects me to do this, or now I've got a client who's really disgruntled, or now someone won't pay the invoice, or whatever it is, as soon as I dive in and have a look at the document, I think, gosh, no wonder. I can't quite follow what's going on here. But what often happens is because the creatives are geniuses at their craft and not at these contracts, they don't actually understand the document and how it works. And so they're often not running their business consistent with that document. This is where we fall down: misaligned expectations, confusion, communication, just things going awry. Things get rocky and shaky with the client. Now, yes, I help people navigate through that really unpleasant time. But one of my mantras in my business is prevention is better than cure. Do it once, do it right. So when it comes to the legal documents to set a creative up, we want to make sure, first and foremost, that you are using the power of your documents. So whether it's your design agreement or your service agreement or whatever you want to call it, that document ought to be the most powerful document in a creative's business. It is the cornerstone of client expectation, client satisfaction, and cash flow. Yes. Let's be honest, we all need cash flow. And if we have a document that is on brand, it looks like the business, it sounds like the business owner is proud of it, they send it out, it's consistent. Everything that they then do by way of serving their client is consistent with that document. Scope creep falls away. Delayed invoices fall away. Navigating those dissatisfied clients falls away. And all of a sudden, that business is set up for success because the foundational document, the most important document, has been tailored and it's on brand. And the business owner is so super proud every time they send it out. because they know what it does and they know how it works and they know that it's setting them up for success with their client. And what I love is that when working with aligned clients, when the creative sends out their service agreement, the client gets it, reads it, oh, fantastic, and they're busting to work with this person. So it helps convert prospects to clients. And there's so much here, and you can see that scope creep is real, but it doesn't need to be. And what I also find, Laura, touching on what you said a moment ago about creatives not wanting to enforce the document or just feeling a bit icky about it, when you've got something that's so on brand and aligned for your business, it is not a problem enforcing it. You are super happy to enforce it. And in fact, you use that document as a really powerful tool to navigate those tricky situations. So it's, hey, Tracy, sorry that that's what you thought. That's not how we roll. This is what we're doing, or this is the next stage, or you pay for this, or that's why the invoice was issued. It's all here. And you just refer back to the document and then the client goes, oh, sorry, yeah, didn't read that. And all of a sudden you've nipped it in the bud. Everyone can stay focused and on track and you can continue on with the project.
Oh, Tracy, there is so much. Even just hearing you talk about it, I'm like, everyone needs a contract. Everyone needs to have a contract that feels good. Because
yes,
like, how often do you think, and I know for me as a creative, I always thought, oh, a contract is a roadblock. It's a barrier to entry. It's going to deter people. That was my mindset. It was really like, oh, I'm going to put it there so they can see it, but I don't want to, like, who knows if I'm going to enforce it. Like, I had so many barriers for this because I didn't want to disappoint people. I didn't want to, you know, I really struggled with people pleasing. And so this thing of going, okay, what if I could create a contract, an agreement that felt, like you said, in your words, aligned? It made me feel confident and it made me feel proud, and that actually was clear. Because I think a lot of the time we get these things off Google and it looks like it's mumbo jumbo language that no one understands. And so when it comes to enforcing it, we're like, honestly, I don't even get this thing either. So it's like, you and the client are confused and you're not going to enforce that, because then you feel confused and you're like, well, it wasn't very clear and I didn't communicate it. And so there's so much there that I think we can unpack. It seems like to me there are a few pieces to this. There's a mindset and an energy piece of a, like, we have to overcome these mindset barriers that we have. The second piece is it's almost like legal literacy. Like, we need to understand what we're enforcing. We need to understand the document. We need to understand our terms. And then there's the, like you were saying, the prevention. How do we get ahead of this? And what practices do we need to put in place? So let's talk first about the mindset. When we think about, okay, I know I need to protect my business, how do you think we need to show up? Like, what are the mindset and beliefs that we need to have to go, all right, I'm going to confidently and proudly enforce this agreement? What are some of the mindset things that you think we need to really start to adopt?
I love talking about mindset. It's just the cornerstone of everything in business, isn't it? And life, really. I'm going to answer that with a question in typical Tracy fashion. But the question what I say to that is asking yourself, if you're not going to take your business seriously, why should your clients? And that's a massive mindset shift, because having aligned and tailored on brand legals in place is not an objection point. It's not a roadblock. It actually helps overcome client objections. It builds trust and credibility with your clients. So by having them in place, we're flipping the mindset from, oh my gosh, this is all so complicated and horrible and I don't want to do this and it's all too hard and it's overwhelming and it's confusing and I've already got so much to do on my to-do list and this is just not a priority for me right now. We flip all of that around to, actually, I am a serious business owner. I do respect my business and take myself seriously. That is the energy I want to give to the clients that are coming into my space to work with me. I have my affairs together. I've got all of my ducks in a row. And this really powerful document, being the most powerful document in my business, is part of that. So I think what's key here as well, though, is working with a lawyer that you vibe with, because yes, honestly, like accountants, I hear you. I get it. There's lawyers and there's lawyers. There's accountants and there's accountants. And I know what it's like to work with that traditional lawyer from traditional practice. And I don't want to be disrespectful, but I think I can say it safely, Laura, because I am one. But there's a reason I left traditional practice. As soon as you say the word lawyer, most people will say to me, and I've asked this question so many times, things like boring, stuffy, snobby, stuck up, unapproachable, obnoxious. I hear it all. Don't work with that person. That person's not going to make you feel empowered.
Yeah.
Don't work with them. When you're working with somebody that you vibe with, that you gel with, that you genuinely feel is in your corner and on your side, and they're not making you feel unheard or silly or any of those things, that's when you can dive in and make the magic happen. That's when the magic happens, because you're so comfortable that someone cares and someone gets you and someone's interested in understanding your business, that what you're going to create together is magic. It's not a process of, I'm going to go and see a lawyer and I'm going to pay all this money and they're going to give me a 42-page document and aren't they so smart because there's all these big words in here and holy dooly, I can't understand this and my lawyer must be smart. It is not that. If you are working with somebody who can write this stuff in plain English, who can explain it to you once and for all so you know it, and who you can say things to like, oh, Tracy, I can't stand that word. Oh, I cringe every time I read that. I don't want that word in my contract. That's a good conversation to have. You can say that. It's your contract. Because you need to feel really confident and proud every time you issue it. And so the mindset around all this shifts when you've got that relationship, when you've changed your lenses about the value of these documents, understanding these documents and the purpose. That shifts the mindset instantly.
And it's, this is so good, because this is the thing I say to all of my clients, and we do this in the Next Level Club. Anytime someone joins, we have really clear terms and conditions. And then we also have a conversation about expectations. And it's like, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to need this from you. Like, this is when we're going to show up. This is when you're going to show up. And it's in plain English. It's clear. It's simple. And everyone is on the same page. And so I think it's like, This you're so right that there's a shift of going, right, how can I communicate these boundaries and these expectations, and how can I do it in a way that feels really good? Because it is possible. And I think for a long time I thought, oh, no, that's not possible. That's just a, like you were saying, kind of check the box, move on. But I think this idea of going, all right, it's all about the positioning, and it's all about, well, if I can do this in a really clear, kind of on brand way, like you've been saying, not only does it set me up for success and set them up for success, it's also like clear is kind, and it's really valuable for your clients to go, I know exactly what to expect. No one ever complained because you laid out expectations. Like no one ever complains about that, because it's like, cool, well, they've told me what's what. And that's like really, really valuable. But I'm not going to get onto a call and be like reading out like a 40-page document and go, under the Australian Consumer Law Act of 2020, whatever. I'm not going to do that, because that's what my contract does that. But my expectations, the way I communicate that, just, it actually is a really cool moment, and it can be a real win. And so I think it's totally an energy shift of going, expectations equal boring, pushy, negative, or any fill in the blank with whatever negative vibe there is with that. And it actually goes, no, expectations are kind. Expectations give clarity. Expectations set everyone up for a win. And then we kind of can approach it with this really empowered, confident way. And I think for a lot of creatives, that's the bit that's missing. It's like, okay, I know I need a contract. I know I need to protect myself legally, but I also don't really know the next step from there. Which really leads us into this literacy piece. So once we kind of go, okay, my contract, my agreements, my terms and conditions can be beautiful, branded. They are setting both parties up for success. My client actually wants this. Like, they actually want a contract. They want clarity. Once we kind of embody that and we feel empowered, the next piece really feels like, okay, well, how do I actually understand my own contract? And like, how do I understand what I legally need to, how the process actually works? So what do you think is the first thing that we need to do once we understand and we go, cool, I know I need a contract? How do we become literate in our own agreements and in our own contracts?
Great question, Laura. Two things to say on that. The first thing, stay away from Google.
Yes.
Stay away from templates. The way you become literate is that you work with a lawyer who you can talk to. So I often say to clients reach out to me and book in via my website for discovery calls, and I'm so happy to have those conversations. And I always say to people, I'm not the lawyer for everyone. I like to collaborate with you. This is teamwork. I want to talk to you. Some people don't want to spend time talking to their lawyer. Believe it or not, it's true. No, Tracy, I just want you to do the documents for me and send them over and we'll just implement them. Sorry, we're not the right fit. I don't get any joy out of that and I can't do my best work, so I'll say no. But there are lawyers who will do that and you will find one. But if you want literacy, if you want to be able to understand it, then you need to work with someone who wants to talk to you. It needs to be a no judgment area. So you need to be confident and you need to feel safe and secure and you need to be able to ask the questions, what does this mean, Tracy? What does this mean? Well, okay. So Tracy, you've drafted me this document. The way I work is I always, always insist on a phone call or a Zoom call. And I always ask clients to allow an hour so we can go through this draft. I want to explain to you why I've included the things I've included, what they're there for and what they mean. And that conversation goes along the lines of, oh my gosh, Tracy, I've got no idea what any of this means. Of course you don't. That's what we're having this call for.
Yes.
This is why this clause is here. This is what this means. This is where we deal with this. This is where you do this. The reason I've said this is this. Does this happen in your business? What about that? How do you deal with variations? What do you do when people want more revisions? You know, what do you do if people aren't paying their invoices? Do you have it in your agreements that you're allowed, that you're entitled to stop providing the services? And what happens if you need to shuffle your workflow around because somebody all of a sudden went AWOL and didn't respond to you for 3 weeks and now you're going to miss their deadline? Is that on you? Are you protected or not? That's the sort of conversation we have, and it's really interactive. So if you want literacy, you need to be interactive and you need to find someone that you're comfortable with to be able to engage just like that. Literacy doesn't end there though, and it's ongoing. It's not set and forget. It's not, okay, great, I've now got this document. That's really fabulous. Thanks, bye. It's not like that. It needs to be someone on speed dial or someone at the other end of an email who you know will get back to you, who you can ask questions of. Hey, a client just asked me about this clause and I can't remember. Can I change that? Or I don't know what to say to my client. They've just asked me about the jurisdiction clause. Can I do this? Or they've asked me about my warranties here. What does that mean again? That's where the literacy sinks in. I mean, you think about kids when you're working through homework with your kids. I actually palm off the maths homework to my husband because I don't I'm not very good at it and I don't know year three maths a lot of the time. It's like, oh my goodness. But I haven't done it for years and years and years, and so I don't remember. And clients don't go and live in their documents day in and day out, which means if someone asks you a question, you don't necessarily remember. But you need to have someone you can go to, and then it gets reinforced. That builds on your literacy.
Oh, I think that that's so, so powerful. The interesting thing is, like, also, I think this is an education thing as well, because there are so many different types of lawyers, right? And we bought a property and it was off the plan. And seriously, the contract was like a ream of A4 paper. It was insane. And so we went to a conveyancer and they sorted it all out. But I was like, I don't want to know about that. I just want to know, give me top line things. What are the, like, what's the sunset clause? What's this XYZ? How much are we paying? Yeah. All those things. But there's an element of, like, maybe there are some parts of like, hey, it's set and forget. It's a conveyancer. Just make sure that I've signed the right thing and I've got the contract for the house I'm buying or whatever. But when it's like a living, breathing thing that is your business, where you are the one who the buck stops with you, the literacy part of it is so, so important because it's not a once and done purchase. It's kind of like a living, breathing thing that we have to go, okay, people will be people. Things will happen. There will be scope creep. There will be moments of, oh gosh, that client just ghosted for a couple of weeks. Now what? And that's when I think when we understand, okay, I have got contingencies in place for all of these situations, we can actually kind of go, okay, cool. Well, let's just, it's almost like a little playbook of, okay, well, when this happens, this is the next step. And it's not a, oh my goodness, like a surprise. Oh, well, crap, they've delayed and therefore this, or they haven't paid their invoice and therefore, like, who knows what happens here? It's kind of like a step-by-step playbook of, okay, well, when that happens, we do this. In instances like this, this is the next step. And it just becomes, okay, I've got to really become aware of what my process is and recognizing that it's a living, breathing thing, because we're working with living, breathing people. I think it's like valuable for us to go, okay, actually, I'm going to feel more empowered and more confident and more like a badass if I know my contract and if I know, nah, that's outside the bounds and this is what the next step is here. I just know for me, when I've implemented this and when I've become aware of, like, all right, when X happens, this is what the next step is. There is something that just gives you a peace of mind and a confidence, and it's really empowering to understand this stuff.
Oh, so much to say on that. First of all, despite what people think from the outside, no two businesses are the same.
Yeah,
I've been in the law now for more than 20 years. Yes, 20 years. That's right. I said it. And I've seen it all. And no two businesses are the same. And that means that everyone's processes are a little different. And you make a great point, Laura, around the conveyancing and other areas of law. There are rules that regulate and govern how you can buy and sell property. There are no rules that govern how you have to run your business. So we've got the overarching rules like the consumer law. Absolutely, we do. And that's there to protect both parties. That's high level. But when we get down to the detail, there's no handbook that says this is how you do it. And that's why it's important to spend some time working with someone where you can communicate how you do it so that it can make its way into your documents. And if you work with the right person who's got the expertise, you ask the question, what's your advice? How do other people in this sort of business do it? What do you recommend? And then you can take those expertise and you can build on it. The other thing to say on that is businesses evolve and grow over time. So things change. So what got you here won't get you there. We all know that when we're talking about scaling, absolutely. But your documents need to grow and evolve, and your pain points will grow and evolve too. So your pain point when you started business is going to be very different when you're 5 years in and you're making a lot more money. The pain points will be different. You need the support, and part of that support comes from your documents.
Yeah, you're so right. And I think there's an element too with a lot of people in the online space, which, you know, we are in a coaching space. We sell courses, we sell programs. It can feel like the Wild West a little bit of, like, what's your refund policy? What guarantees do you have? And like all of these things, and people can make crazy claims and crazy promises and then not deliver. And so there's a lot of gray. And I think a lot of consumers are becoming a bit more sophisticated or a bit more aware of what protections do we have here as a consumer, and what are you going to deliver? And if this doesn't work, what next kind of thing. So I think having clarity on that is really, really important, especially as you scale. And if you think about it, it's a numbers game, right? So if you think, well, I've got 10 clients, maybe once a quarter, I'm going to have an issue. If you've got 100 clients, it's going to be more like if you think about the maths, it's probably going to be more like once a month you're going to have something come up. So it's like, it's actually a scaling thing too, where it's like, okay, well, my agreements are working harder. They're doing the things because I've got higher volume. And so it's not that, oh, you kind of, you've got more complaints, you've got more issues. It's just, you've got more clients. And that's okay. And this is what I'm learning. It's like, it's okay. It comes with the territory. It is, it's part of it. And if we don't like that, then we're really going to find it hard to grow. And again, I have had to learn this of like, this is the, it comes back to that mindset thing as well of like, well, if I'm going to be a people pleaser, and if I am going to, every time someone says, oh, I want out, or I want out of my agreement, which I've clearly agreed to, if I say, yeah, okay, don't worry, it's all good, forget about it, like, peace out. If I do that, I'm not being an empowered, badass business owner. I'm not being confident. And I'm also not serving that person who has agreed, like, this is how business works. And like, so I think there's like a, there's something so powerful about knowing your contract and really believing in your contract as well, because when it comes time to enforce the contract, which will happen, and when it comes time to do that, if we can understand it and if we can have the confidence and we can go, right, here's why that's not going to work. Here's why. And like, well, let's refer back to this thing. Like, it's just going to mean that you can grow and you can scale, because if we resist the uncomfortable conversations and the uncomfortable moments of, I've got to refer back to my contract again, if we resist that, we're not going to scale and we're not going to grow, because we're going to avoid pain.
Let me ask you this. When you go to David Jones and you buy a pair of jeans and you use Afterpay, after you've worn the jeans twice and you decide that you actually don't like the way they make you feel, do you ring up Afterpay and say, oh, I don't want to pay the rest of my payments for those jeans because I don't like them? No. No. You absolutely don't. The thought would never enter your head. And why is that? Because they have been crystal clear at the beginning exactly what you're signing up to. So you know damn well it is not an option to ring Afterpay and say, hey, I'm not paying for these jeans. It doesn't even enter your head. And the same thing applies in business. So no, you're right there, Laura. Consumers are becoming more savvy. And there's a massive focus on consumer law in this country. And there were some major changes that came into play towards the end of last year here in Australia. Business owners need to be savvy too and need to be all over that. So if you're all over it and you know your rights and you know your contracts are set up in accordance with the consumer law and there are no loopholes, okay, but it's fair and it's transparent and it's aligned. And if you set that out in a really crystal clear way, you're creating what Afterpay have created, which is expectations, and no one is reaching out to you to go, hey, I haven't been participating, I want out and I don't want to pay anymore. No one's doing that. Because you have set yourself up for success from the beginning, just like Afterpay.
And that's a really good point for us to move into this prevention piece, right? We've talked about mindset, we've talked about literacy. Then let's talk about the prevention piece. Because I think a lot of the time, and I don't know if you find this, Tracy, you know, people might come to you and go, crap, I've got this terrible client, what do I do? And I don't know if for you it becomes a little bit like, well, my hands are tied a little bit with that because we haven't actually got a really awesome contract in place to protect you. So how do we, before we kind of move into this prevention piece, what do we do in these moments when we are like, crap, I haven't got the right thing in place. What do I do now?
Two things. There's always a legal question and a business question. So the first thing you do is you pick up the phone to your business lawyer, who's on speed dial. My accountant actually said recently, if your accountant's not on speed dial, are they even your accountant? And I loved that. And I would say that about your business lawyer. If you don't have access to your lawyer to ask questions like that, are they really your lawyer? Get a new one. You pick up the phone and you ask the question. This is what's happened, Tracy. What can I do? And you want someone that's going to give you blunt, frank advice. So I say to clients in situations like that, well, actually, we can do this. Because even though you don't have a great contract, the way the parties have communicated, et cetera, won't go into it here, but there's all these sorts of things. There's actually a contract here, even though what you've used doesn't help you, scrap that. But all of this, so you can do A, B, and C. It takes energy, it takes effort, it takes time, but you can do that. Or I say there is nothing you can do. You haven't complied with the consumer law. You have to give the refund. Draw a line in the sand, cut your losses, go and feel the fields, and then let's move on and make sure this doesn't happen again. So I'll say one of those two things. B, But then what you want to be doing is looking at it from a business perspective. So even if someone like Tracy has said, yep, you can do this, this, and this, but now you realize you have to take your eye off the ball because you've got to invest your time and energy into dealing with this because you need to provide someone like Tracy with all of these emails and this chronology and that summary and you have to do all of this. That all takes your time and energy. So it's taking you away from your core business. It's taking you away from generating revenue, from growing, from showing up, from all of that. So you have to ask the business question, is this worth it? Is this worth it? And that is a really powerful, courageous question to ask because just about everybody starts at the point of it's not about the money, it's about the principle. My answer to that is it is always about the money. Let's be real. Because for you to go down this path now is going to cost you time and energy and that costs you money. So what is it worth to you? It's fine to have those principles if you're prepared to pay for them. So if somebody is fighting you over $1,000 and you've just realized it's going to take you 3.5 days to get all the stuff together that you need so I can write a cease and desist or so I can write a letter of demand, is that time well spent? This is what some consumers rely on and it feels so wrong. People who know how to play the game and who ghost and who just go and remove their payment plan or their payment details from Kajabi and do dodgy stuff like that, they're playing the game. And that can really sit badly with business owners, as it should, because people that get really, really grated over situations like that and they come to me so hurt. How can someone do this? The reason it hurts so much is because that business owner would never conduct themselves that way. They have a moral compass. They have really solid values. They would never do it to someone else. So they cannot fathom how someone else could do it to you. This is all the stuff we have to work through when you're in these messy situations. And that's life. And we've got to learn resilience and all the things. But that just all feels yuck. Move that to the side. So yes, that's the conversation we have. And it's painful and it's unpleasant and, you know, some hard doses of reality there. But once we've worked through that, let's set ourselves up for success so that doesn't happen again. Let's work out what it is we're going to do. And that's the preventative part. That's the empowering part. That's the really joyous part. That's the part we can do something about so we don't end up like that. And some of us, I think, need to learn that way. Certainly my daughter needs to learn that way. She has to learn by falling over and hitting her head and doing all the things. You can't tell her, you know, she's that person, but then she learns. And I often say to clients, be like my son. He accepts you don't need to jump off the bridge. You know it's going to hurt. You do not need to do it. My daughter wants to jump. She wants to feel it herself. She needs to know it. My son just says, no, no, no. I can see that 20 other people have done that and it didn't end well. I'm not going to do it. But my daughter thinks, oh, it'll be right. I'll have a go. Be like my son. Don't jump off the cliff yourself to experience it. So when someone like me comes along and says, hey, I've been doing this for a while. I've seen how this goes bad. Let's avoid that for you. Don't be the person that says, no, no, it'll be right. I'm going to wing it. I'll be different. Just go, yep, okay, I trust you. Let's just take your advice and let's take the advice of the hundreds of clients you've acted for. Let's just accept that these are the risks. And let's put all these measures in place so we don't have to go through that ourselves.
You really can't put a price on that peace of mind.
Hey, my friend, real quick, I have a favor to ask. If you love my business playbook and if it has helped you in your business journey, then I would love for you to leave us a 5-star review. It will take you all of 60 seconds, but it means the world to me. And it helps us to get the word out about the show, which means we can help more people just like you. Thank you so much for listening. Let's get back to the episode.
Right. So if we want to grow, we have to actually recognize that there are going to be moments where we have to enforce our contracts and where we really do have to have a robust, epic agreement in place to support us. What are the key elements? So if we think kind of, okay, we're not coming to you in a crisis. We're coming to you going, right, I want to prevent this. I want to go upstream and solve this challenge before it even happens, right? We want to act like your son and go, let's just do this now so that we can avoid a bit of pain, a bit of heartache. What are the key things that you think every creative needs, like in their toolkit from a legal perspective?
Okay, so you need the most important document, the most important tool in that kit is your client service agreement or your design agreement, whatever it is you're entering into with your clients. If you're selling online, you're an online coach, for example, or you're selling courses, the equivalent for you are your terms that relate to your purchase terms that relate to those, that course or that program or whatever you're selling, if it's a subscription or a membership. The terms and conditions that relate to what you're selling your client, whether it's your products and your courses or your services, that is the most important document in your business. Making sure that you are clear on what you're offering, making sure that you know how to use those documents is key. This can be the make or break part, and people often overlook this because they say, what are you talking about, Tracy? But not only is the way you've drafted it and what it says about your cancellations or your refunds or your inclusions or your services or your delays or your scope creep or whatever, not only is that really important, but the way that you get your clients to agree to that is just as important, because if you don't get that part right, you can find yourself in a position where you're not entitled to rely on them. And this is where consumers are getting savvy. So you can actually, if you get it wrong, if you muck it up and you haven't spoken to, so you haven't collaborated with a lawyer who knows this stuff and you muck it up, you can find yourself in a position with the most beautifully drafted terms that you are not allowed to rely on at law. So knowing that, so if we're talking the toolkit, yes, it's having those documents and those terms and conditions drafted properly and tailored for your business so they're on brand and they're all the awesome things. But the next most important tool is knowledge around your processes and systems. How do clients sign up with you? How do you issue this to clients? How do they agree? At what point does the contract form? And is it lawful? An example of when it's not lawful is if someone sends an invoice and says, it was really great talking to you. Here's my invoice. I've got four dot points on the bottom that relate to my refund policy. Let's lock it in. And so the person pays the invoice. There's no terms and conditions there, none at all. But then let's just say someone then says, oh, great, now that you've paid, here is our contract, or here are our terms. Or now that you're in our Kajabi portal, you can see our terms and conditions there. That is not lawful, and you will not be allowed to rely on whatever your terms and conditions are if you do it that way.
Yes.
So that's an example of what not to do. So in your toolkit, you want the knowledge. So having the documents, but then knowing how to use them. And if you want peace of mind, you need to know that your processes and systems do what they need to do for you to be able to rely on your terms or your contracts. That's where you start. That's the really important tools in that toolkit.
Yeah, so it's like having the stuff in the contract that really is clear, it supports you, it's all the things, and putting it in the right place in the process and having people agree to it in the right place. What about and this might be a kind of it totally depends answer, that's fine. Do people need to physically sign something, or how does it work, like checking a box or by purchasing you agree to these terms and conditions? Like I'm thinking about course creators, people who sell things online. How does that kind of work in terms of process?
Yeah, great question. No, they don't need to physically sign something, provided you've got the right systems and processes set up. So if you're a course creator and you're selling online and someone's coming along, landing on your website, looking at your sales page, and then they're busting to work with you, they must tick a box that says something like, by ticking this box, I agree to these terms and conditions. And then they tick the box and then they choose buy now or sign up now. If though you don't have the box and you just say by proceeding with this purchase, you agree to these terms and conditions, that is not the same, not good enough. If you have the box function and it says by ticking this box, I agree to the website terms and conditions below, again, not the same, not good enough. You don't ever want someone to agree to your website terms and conditions. You want them to agree to the terms and conditions that relate to what they're purchasing. It is different. And this is a whole other podcast episode, yes. I'm quite sure, Laura, but I know that there'll be so many people here thinking, oh, but I sell things on my website, so what does she mean? So let me just share really simply. Your website terms and conditions that sit down the bottom of your website govern the rules of how people can use your website. Your IP, your copyright, your mailing list, so you're dealing with the spam act, you know, your disclaimers about your blogs or your podcast, they sit in your website terms and conditions. People don't have to agree to those when they're buying your course. Your course terms and conditions are very different. So if you put the wrong terms in the wrong spot, again, you're exposed and you're not protected. So again, this comes back to the literacy piece. So taking the time to find someone you vibe with, to have the conversation so this stuff can be explained to you so that you know then I've got the right thing in the right place, that's key.
That is so, so valuable. And it's crazy to me, Tracy, in this online space that so many of us are in, a simple mistake can be the difference of thousands of dollars. And I think that's why it's like, well, we have to do this work. We don't have a legal department in our business, right? And so it's one of the hats that we have to wear, in a sense, not DIY, but we have to wear it to understand, to go, okay, this is my responsibility. I don't have to do it myself, but this still is my responsibility to understand this and to know where this fits in my process, because that it's going to save you a stack load of money, but also a stack load of the stress and the stuff that comes up when refund requests come in or people want to cancel or people dispute things and you're like, what the heck do I even do here? So seriously, if you're not doing this, if you don't have this in place for your business, whether you are a graphic designer, whether you're a course creator, whether you are a coach, whatever that looks like, this, like having the right contract, but having it in the right place. Oh my gosh. Like I didn't know any of that before I spoke with you, Tracy. So it was like so valuable to be like, oh my gosh, this has to be in this place on this page in this way. And it just gives so much more clarity and confidence.
As it should, because you're entitled to that clarity and confidence as a business owner. And the last thing I'll say on that is when you're working with someone, and again, this is why templates don't serve you and Google doesn't serve you. Once you've got those documents in place and they're set up, chances are you're going to make changes to your offerings. You're going to change your refund policy, or you might put in a money back guarantee, or you might do something like that. It is just as important that you don't go in and make those changes yourself, because if you do, chances are you will muck it up. Having a lawyer that you can ring or you can reach out to and go, hey, I need to engage you now. We'd need to jump on a call because I made these changes, and to have someone to come in really swiftly and do those updates for you so that everything still works is so important. I cannot tell you the amount of times clients have reached out and said, hey, can you just check these for me? I've just done some tweaks because I've made a change. And I've looked at it and went, holy dooly, you've massacred it. Without even realizing that is such risk. So this relationship part is so important, to be building this relationship and having that person there that you can say, hey, I've just done my annual review, or I'm doing a new offering. Can you update and change? So once you've got them, and once you've got them set up properly and you know that they're in the right place and you know everything's in the right order, know also that when things change, go back to your team, go back to your lawyer, get them done properly, or else you're sabotaging yourself again.
Yes.
Which we don't want to see.
And I love the parallel that you made about your accountant and your lawyer, because I think that a lot of the time we think it is set and forget. Oh, I'll just get my contract done and then I won't have to talk to my lawyer ever again. And I think that idea of being like, no, let's find someone to be on your team and be in your corner with you, who knows your business, who knows your industry, and who can really, really support you. And do the stuff to set you up for success, and do the stuff when it all hits the fan and you need some, like, you're like, crap, I've got to enforce this now. Can you help me? And can you give me the confidence boost to like actually follow through on holding people to the contract as well? Because that's a whole other thing entirely.
It is. So much in business turns on who we surround ourselves with. We know that. That's why people are in your community, Laura, because they value surrounding yourself with the right people to support you on this journey. And your lawyer and your accountant are no different. And you've got to surround yourself with the right people. And it's like relationships. If it's not working, cut ties and move on. Clear as kind, as you said. And if it's not working, I don't enjoy working with you, I'm not getting what I want from you, my expectations aren't met, or you're not gelling with me, move on and find someone else. You're allowed to do that. But surround yourself with the right team and make sure that your lawyer is part of that team. They're really important for you.
Yes. Oh, Tracy, this has been so helpful, so, so valuable. I know that everyone listening, will be like, oh my gosh, I need to sort out my mindset around this. I need to like really focus on the literacy piece, and I need to figure out how to prevent some of these challenges. And if you haven't had a challenge, then now is a really good time to engage a lawyer who can sort it out for you. And if you are in a spot where you've got a challenging client, or maybe you've had some issues, then now is also a good time. So both times are good times to engage a lawyer and get some support, because your business is an asset and you must protect it. And so we need to think about it. It's not a hobby anymore. It's not a side hustle. It's not my little business. No, this provides for your family. It is your income. It is your work. And it is so worth protecting, in the same way that you have home insurance. Like, you kind of need to protect your assets.
That's right.
It's really powerful. And I cannot tell you how much peace of mind it's going to give you when you have this in your business. So it's worth the investment. It like 100%. Now, Tracy, where can people find you, follow you? Maybe if they're listening and they're like, crap, I need to talk to Tracy, where can people connect with you more?
People can connect with me on Instagram. My handle is at TM Solicitor. I'm very active on Instagram, and you can jump over to the website where there is loads of resources there that you'll find useful, and you can contact me directly through there as well, tmsolicitor.com.au. I do answer my own DMs. I am so happy to hear from people, because it's just about sharing information and adding value for me, and those platforms are where I'm able to do that most.
Amazing. Well, Tracy, I love your work. I love what you do. Thank you so much for sharing so generously with us today. Team, I'm going to pop all of Tracy's amazing links into the show notes so you can check that out. You can follow Tracy for legal intel, inspo, and advice. Tracy, thank you so much for joining us. It has been such a pleasure.
Thank you, Laura. My pleasure. And it was great to be on here with you.
Well, if you loved this episode, please share it with a friend. And as always, I love it when I hear from you. I love chatting with you on Instagram. So head on over to @LauraHiggins. Would love to hear from you. And hey, if you want to check out any of Tracy's amazing resources, she has her own podcast. She shares great content on Instagram as well. If you want to check any of that out, head on over to the show notes. We've linked all of the good stuff there. My friend, so excited for you and your business and what it's going to mean for you when you can feel confident in all of this kind of legal side of things. It is a game changer, and I know it's going to make a big difference for you and your business. So, hey, happy implementing. Love your work. I will see you back here, same time, same place next week. Go get them.